Ballbender Squad, Mubarak here. Welcome to another episode. How's your own thing going in at your end? Hope you're keeping fit and anticipating the return of the grandest of all football leagues, the Mama Charlie Land Premier League. Some people say it's overrated, the Prem, but yeah, that's talk for another day. For now, football is as German as it could be. Huge derby last night, Bayern Munich coming out tops, 1-0. Joshua Kimmich, what a ridiculous goal that was. Where did that come from? I mean, it was a red v yellow thing, and yeah, the red side coming out victorious. Straight to the content for today though. Focus will be on the Rom Deuter position and one man who was in action last night. Thomas Muller is his name. He has made this position his own in the last couple of years, and that's why we've decided to bring it to the podcast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. False nine, Mezzala, Regista, Libero. These are all terms that will undoubtedly be familiar to the typical football enthusiast, as indeed with the players associated with them, the likes of Lionel Messi, Zinedine Zidane, Andre Pirlo and Franz Beckenbauer are often considered to be the closest and most successful representations of the roles they occupy and the tactical implications that they bring as a result. In recent years, however, the term Rom Deuter has been undergoing considerable growth in exposure, especially among fans across social media. So what is a Rom Deuter and how does it relate to football? Are they centre forwards, side forwards, central attacking midfielders or strikers? First of all, something you need to know is they are clumsy and do not hold an aesthetically pleasing technique or style of play. They are limited dribblers who are not characterised by their pace, trickery or all of that Brazilian samba thing people like Neymar or Ronaldinho would bring to the table. Their first touch is very efficient and is a huge contributor to their set-up touches prior to scoring. They have good area capabilities and have relative ease to put the ball in the back of the net from headers. They get into advantageous situations by combining their remarkable anticipation with their superior reading of the game. Defensively, they are fairly decent at orienting presses, but for the most part, they don't play big defensive roles for their teams. So basically, Rom Deuters utilize their quick processing of the game to get themselves into favorable situations. The Rom Deuter is not a position but a role, one that is massively dependent on a specific system and relies heavily on being surrounded by top quality talent to thrive. They generally operate from the wing inward and have massive participation in half spaces as well. Rom Deuters are always a step ahead of the opposition. Their brilliant reading of the game allows them to predict actions and can therefore act upon it quicker than others. For a better example, one player has been an absolute phenomenon of this role, almost a creation from his own peculiar individualism.
Looking for Müller, Müller going for his hat-trick and he's got it! Oh, that is a beautifully taken goal by Thomas Müller!
The Rom Deuter came about simply through Müller's response to a question. Asked what it is that makes him so special, he simply responded, "Ich bin ein Rom Deuter." Such was the simplistic accuracy of his self-labeling. It had become almost a nickname, though in reality, it was more of a description of exactly what he provides. His talent is almost hidden behind the perception of what generally constitutes a gifted footballer, a non-conformist in the most unconventional of ways. When news of Pep Guardiola's arrival was confirmed in 2013, Müller's self-confidence was well placed. He had been a regular at Bayern since rising through the youth system and breaking into the first team under Louis van Gaal. He had already top scored at the World Cup, featured prominently in Jupp Heynckes's treble winning team and had already demonstrated on numerous occasions his uncanny ability to find space. But Guardiola was also curious. Müller had in a sense epitomised the blood and thunder high intensity profile of the Bundesliga prior to Pep's arrival. His boundless energy, symbolic of Heynckes's team that proved so successful. Of course, Pep knew that would have to be toned down. His Bayern Munich would be more focused on possession, considered build-up and positional play, and it was a case of merging the Catalan-originated philosophy with Müller's almost old-school Germanic traits. But it was under Pep Guardiola that the Rom Deuter would fully be created. The date was November the 8th, 2014, and Bayern, having made an imperial start to the Bundesliga campaign in Pep's second season, travelled to Frankfurt. The team lined up in a way similar to that of an attacking setup in Guardiola's third season, and it was this that allowed Müller to do so much terminal damage. He started on the left of a narrow attacking trio alongside Franck Ribéry and Robert Lewandowski, giving scope to make use of his elusive movement. His first goal came just after 22 minutes. Left-back Juan Beniat played a 1-2 with Lewandowski before driving to the byline and pulling back for Müller, who had taken up a position on the 6-yard box, somehow unmarked. His first effort was blocked on the line from close range, but he eventually managed to bundle the ball in with his knee in what was a strangely typical Thomas Müller goal. Nothing glamorous, not particularly aesthetic or skillfully produced, but uber-efficient. Half-time arrived with Bayern 1-0 up and comfortable, but more was to come. With over an hour gone, Ribery was played in behind opposition's defence by Mario Götze, and looking out for options saw Lewandowski and Müller. Lewandowski, more central, was closely marked, but Müller, in an inside left position, had found himself free of any attention. He was picked out and slotted home to double his and Bayern's scoring. Only 3 minutes later, he had completed his hat-trick, this time running in from deep to latch onto a Götze through ball to slide past the goalkeeper. This was a performance that perhaps best encapsulated Müller's invention of something entirely different. Space was clearly interpreted. Despite this excellent display though, it wasn't until Guardiola's third and final season that the Raumdeuter role truly became a vital and indispensable part of Bayern's system. And when it did, Müller would find the best form of his career. In both the 2013-14 and 2014-15 seasons, Müller scored 13 Bundesliga goals. Commendable total certainly, but Guardiola wanted more. The former Barcelona coach had attempted to use Müller as a false nine, a traditional winger and a centre forward. But when consigned to an overly detailed tactical plan, particularly with the addition of positional play to consider, Müller often struggled to fully integrate himself with the side. As he has said himself in the past, "I'm not so much involved in the build-up and don't have many touches of the ball." Space is crucial to Müller's game as Messi's left foot is to his. Having the ability to read the game, occupy the right areas on the pitch and elusively avoid the attention of defenders is a talent that few players possess. Guardiola strived to find a solution that would bring the best of his plethora of gifted attacking players, in particular Müller, and in his third season, he discovered it. Pep created what Marti Peyronel described as an attacking ecosystem in an attacking front four with two wide wingers. This meant that Müller was effectively something of a shadow striker to Lewandowski, although in actual fact, the new system simplified his game and allowed him the space to move freely while the build-up play was largely taken care of by others. It was a Raumdeuter in its purest form, a role requiring little else other than anticipation, intelligence and the ability to finish, all of which Müller had in abundance. Müller found the net 20 times in the Bundesliga in 2015-16. This was the first time Müller had scored 20 goals in his career. He added 8 goals in the Champions League and 4 more in the Cup to take his total to a superb 32 in all competitions. This was far from coincidental. Guardiola had created an ecosystem, and the most important of the organisms had thrived, feeding off the supplies provided by those around him. By the time Guardiola had left, Müller had played 151 of his 161 games in charge, almost ever present. Much of them though had been in a way used in an attempt to finally discover in which way to best utilize him. More influence on the pitch led to an increase in influence off it for Müller. He had become something of a leader alongside Philipp Lahm, his volcanic eccentric mannerisms complementing his evidently growing confidence in Bayern's system. All of it had come through what might appear at first an almost negligible change, but Müller's role was always one of complex simplicity. It had worked through perseverance on Guardiola's part and the willingness to be patient on Müller's. The Raumdeuter was at its irrepressible best. Müller is a player most wouldn't consider exceptionally technically gifted. He is not an outstanding dribbler or passer. He can often appear awkward, unrefined at times, and almost accidental, but that defines the Raumdeuter, manipulator of space, a reader of the game, and in Müller's case, a player whose unorthodox idiosyncrasies represent a role almost incomparable to any of football's numerous others. We hope you've enjoyed this one half as much as we've enjoyed recording it for you. Next episode, we'll review other players who, based on our description of the role, can also be considered Raumdeuters. Until then, big up yourselves, continue to stay safe, and enjoy the rest of your week.